薄いのアホ。
プリズムタワーメイクアップカードレ
ディー。 Welcome to Shoujo and Tell, where we discuss shoujo manga and tell who's hot and who's not, talk about themes, and just generally geek out. Today, December 9th, 2018, we'll be shoujo and telling about Kimi ni Todoke volumes 21 to 30 by Karuho Shina. That's the last third of this series. It's a very long series. There are 30 volumes. Woo! I'm your host, Ashley McDonald, and I'm joined by Caitlin Moore.
Hi.
Yeah, I feel like people should know who you are, Caitlin. You write a lot about anime. You write particularly about shoujo manga a lot.
Yeah, I need to get back into that.
Yeah, you need to get back into that. But for now, you can podcast about it. That's fine. So immediate spoiler warning, because again, this is about the very end of a very long series. So if you have not read all of Kimi ni Todoke, I do not advise listening to this. And if you would like to read all of Kimi ni Todoke, it is available from Viz Media in North America in English. And the anime is also available on Crunchyroll and I believe maybe Hulu. But if you've only watched the anime, you definitely cannot listen to this episode because it does not get this far. And for anybody who has maybe not read Kimi ni Todoke, like the earlier volumes that are being covered in this podcast for a hot second, just a brief overall recap of like what goes on in these volumes. This is definitely the like, oh my God, we're graduating high school and have to go to college or get a job arc. That's the running theme throughout all of it. And big things that happen. Ayane breaks up with Kento. RIP that relationship. She confesses her feelings to Peen. Okay, cool. The gasp. Sawako and Kurumi decide to become besties and go to the same school as each other. That's fun. They're gonna go be teachers. Sawako and Kazuhaya have their first fight, but then they're good. They may or may not have had sexy times in the final volume. Whoa.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Real tame sexy times. We'll get there. And everybody graduates from high school. Yay! They did it.
They did it.
They did it.
And they did it.
They did a lot of things. Okay.
Anyway.
So we're gonna answer. We will probably touch on all of those things like in larger topics of discussion. But the first one was actually from a listener that we got from for last episode, but I saved it for this episode. So this is from @fem/fatal on Twitter. And it was, what are your thoughts on Sawako/Ume, Kurumi, the secret slow burn gal pals romance in this series? Caitlin, what are your thoughts?
I think that it is very good that Kurumi had her arc. And I think that, you know, if they got to college and Sawako realized the distance was a lot to deal with, then I don't think Kurumi would be adverse to it. She definitely, when she calls Kazuhaya her real rival in that last volume,
yeah,
it was a little bit like, wait a second.
Yeah, see, not having read the last volume when we got this question, I was like, I mean, there are hints of that, but mostly they're just friends. And then reading the last volume, I was like, oh, damn, it like went there. It went real hard implying that. And I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah. I could definitely see it.
Yeah, no, I'm like, especially the way that the series then ends, like, you know, nobody gets married or anything. And I'm like, it's there. It's open. I don't know. I think it happens. I think, like,
you know, how many high school couples go off to college promising that they will always love each other forever? And then they start having all the new experiences that college entails. And they're like, actually, I think we've outgrown each other.
Yes. And I would love for that to happen. I really, really would love for that to happen. That'd be so funny. But also, Kurumi, I think it was nice to also see her, like, apologize, even though it was like, Kurumi, everybody got over this. Like, you know, nobody's dwelling on this but you. But that's nice.
Sure. But it's good that she, like, made amends.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Apologies are important, and recognizing that you messed up is important. So, I liked her whole arc. It was really satisfying.
Yeah, Kurumi's good. Kurumi starts off real bad and then ends up, like, real good. That's so nice.
She matures realistically. You know, she goes from the kind of 15-year-old who would do that garbage to an 18-year-old who realizes that it was a terrible thing to do.
Yeah, and she, I mean, to be fair, she, like, gets to sleep over with Sawako first. Is that true? Yes. That's a fact. So good job, Kurumi. She does it even before Ayane and Chizu, and they were all jealous. Everybody's jealous. I love it. It's good. And I love in her apology, you know, she does apologize first to Sawako, but then she does also apologize to Chizu and Ayane. She could have just been like, oh, Sawako already told you, like, it's fine. But I was like, oh, she does it twice. That's even better.
Yeah, it's good. She honestly probably is the best part of the ending, the last couple volumes.
Interesting. I also love Sawako's dad's reaction to her when she came to sleep over, being like, is she a celebrity? Like, what's, where'd you find this girl? And Kurumi's just like,
I don't know.
No.
I was like, don't creep on your daughter's friend. Don't make it weird.
I think if it was anybody but Sawako's dad, it would have been creepy, but because he's so, like, just out of touch with everything, it's like, oh, you mean well. You're, like, so innocent. This means nothing. Anybody else, though, would be like, that's weird and creepy. Stop it. I don't know. I feel like the Ayane stuff is the strongest part of this last bit for me. But we're getting there.
That was really good, too. Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll get there.
That's like that. That has to wait till the end, even though we've been like, oh, my God, we want to talk about so bad throughout all the podcasts. We have to keep torturing ourselves is basically. Yeah, so I mean, I think Kurumi was also really good for Sawako in making her realize, you know, that she wants to go to the School of Education, even though she's like, I also like Kazehaya. And I'm like, no, don't make choices about based on where Kazehaya is going. Don't do it.
Yeah, I loved that. It kind of made me remember, I mean, I didn't have a boyfriend in high school, but it did make me think about the time when I was trying to decide where to go to college and my friends were trying to decide where to go to college. And most of it was motivated by, like, it was a very, like, academically intense program. So most of it was like, what is the best school I have gotten into? But, you know, thinking about where I would be, you know, where people would be happiest going, like, do they want to stay close to their family and their friends? A lot of my friends in high school stayed in California while I went to New York. And all, like, just sort of all the different considerations. And I really like that the characters in Kimi ni Todoke, like, their decisions were all based on what they wanted to do with themselves and who they wanted to be, rather than just choosing to go where their significant other goes or where what is just, like, the most convenient location. Like, everything they decided was based on who they wanted to be, what they wanted to do with the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have the considerations of being like, oh, I could just go to where Kazehaya goes. I could just go hang out in Sapporo with Kento. And I'm like, don't do it. This is the one thing I will never forgive you for if you do this.
Yeah, and I think those thought processes are, like, natural and, you know, they're sympathetic. Yeah. I mean, I didn't like all the boys being like, I want to tell her not to go.
That's true. It was all the boys, right?
It was only the boys.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Oh.
Well, the boys were also, like, staying closer to home. But, you know, all of the boys, I was like, don't do that. Don't say that. Like, don't say don't go because I want you to stay and be my girlfriend. That would be the worst thing, is to try to hold her back from her actual dreams and goals. And, oh, well, no, I, Chizu also, Chizu
but
also Chizu wanted
is
to
the
say
masculine
don't go.
Girl here, right?
True, like, true. But I also like that the girls were so goal oriented, right? And yeah. it did end up being that, like I said, everyone was pursuing their dreams. No one was held back by their relationship or by their partner asking them to stay with them. And I think that's so rare in shoujo manga. And a lot of stuff, they end up, like, deciding to become, oh, I'm going to marry them right out of high school. Or I'm going to drop out of high school to marry them.
Oh, no.
So yeah, this was just really nice to see. Very satisfying.
Very nice to see no weddings. Open to no my weddings. Interpretation. No, and the feelings are very relatable. And I guess from my own personal life experience, like, I did have a boyfriend in high school, and I guess I briefly considered breaking up with him, but then we were like, no, we won't break up. But we did have a long-distance relationship. We did go to different colleges. There was never... I think we applied to one school the same, and we both did get in, and we were like, nope, that's not the best school that we applied to, like, and got into, so nope. Bye. So, like, yeah, I just felt like that was, like, I'm like, you can do long distance. Like, it's possible. don't not go to a good school over that. Yay. Kimi Jodake, you did it correctly.
You did the good.
You did a good.
You did a good.
Yeah. I think what shocks me about Kimi Jodake is, like, it definitely is probably so popular because it certainly has fairly conservative views on, like, it has, like, this idyllic small town setting in Hokkaido where I noticed there's, like, never a car anywhere in this thing. The one time a car is, like, severely mentioned, it kills somebody. Like, cars are no good. They take the train, they walk, even though it's literally, like, below freezing half the time, I think, in this manga. And, you know, we talked about last time how even though we really love the female friendships and everything in it, there is kind of also a, like, oh, girls and boys can't really be friends unless you're romantically interested in each other sort of conservatism to it. So, like, it has this, like, fairly conservative undertones, but then I'm like, but it does, like, little things well. I don't know.
Yeah, listen, a thing can be good and in some ways and bad in some ways.
Yeah.
Which is, like, an shocking argument I've been seeing going on Twitter a lot recently.
Yeah. So I love taking the very good with the, like, less. I don't think it does anything, like, terribly, terribly bad, except that one Kazuhaya bit in the middle.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Kazuhaya just being a stupid idiot.
Yeah. Kazuhaya, out of character, Kazuhaya was like, what is happening? But otherwise, I think, like, its lows are, like, not really that low. And then the highs are like, whoa, you kind of, like, surprised me and blew my mind a little. Yay. So now I think we have to talk about your obviously favorite character, Kazuhaya's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that there tried to be a little redemption arc in this that tried to be like a serious McSerious Pants, a little episode where his mom was in the hospital for some seemingly minor thing, but
vague
Japan.
Bad health.
Yeah. And then it is revealed, and then, like, Kazuhaya is like, oh, I finally told my dad I want to go to college, and I tried to, like, listen to him and not cut him off for once, and so we had this little heart-to-heart. And then Kazuhaya's mom's like, you know, I think you just misunderstand him, as everybody in this manga will tell you at some point or another about somebody else.
Your words aren't reaching him.
Yeah, your words aren't reaching him. Probably because you didn't let him say half of the words, but that's fine. Yeah, so then it is revealed that Kazuhaya's dad has been, like, hoarding all of the presents that Kazuhaya has ever given him for, like, Father's Day and other holidays, even when they were food items, and really what Kazuhaya wanted was, like, for his dad to eat them, you know, and stuff. Like, so he's hid them in this drawer and basically never showed Kazuhaya that he, like, kept them and treasured them in any way.
Yeah.
And his mom is like, hey, go check out that drawer. It might change your mind. And I'm like, I don't know. Should that change his mind, Caitlin?
That's such a weird thing to do. Like, if you give someone a present, you want them to enjoy it.
Yes.
Like, and use it and not just, like, sit in a drawer as a trinket until it, like, goes bad. That's strange. That's weird. Kazuhaya's dad is a weird guy.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess the other part of the redemption arc was that he thought so hard about what to name you and stuff. And I'm like, all right. At what point did he become a hard ass, though? Like, at what point did he stop being like, oh my god, look, Shota, like, walked a little for a hot second into becoming this, like, rawr. Shota never lives up to my expectations.
I mean, it's because I get it. I get that he's like that because he wants Kazehaya to be an achiever, and so he pushes him so hard that Kazehaya is like, this isn't fun anymore, and yeah. So I want to quit. Like, you know, this is one of those cases where it's like, well, someone can be good and bad at the same time, right? Like, the damage he did was real. Like, he still made Kazehaya want to quit baseball. He still, like, made him think that he did not care for him. He still punched him in the face.
Oh, yes. That was also the low point in this series. Punching children in the face. Not good.
You know, but it's still good to know that he wanted good things for Kazehaya. That he wasn't just an asshole for the sake of being an asshole.
That's true.
But yeah, I don't think that it totally redeems him, because I think most parents, even the worst parents, have generally good intentions. It's the effect they have on their kids that matters most.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, Kazehaya's mom, I'm like, all right, mom, you knew this. You see their dynamic all the time. Like, what are you doing, mom? Why are you letting this happen? Like, what are you doing about this? I don't understand. His family's weird. This is basically my conclusion.
Yeah.
And then his little brother is, like, running free because Shota, like, takes on all the hard burdens, I feel, being the older one.
Yeah. It's hard being the older sibling.
This I know nothing about as an only child. I'm like, explain siblings to me. It's very strange. How does that work? I don't know.
Well, you see, when a mommy and daddy love each other very much.
I think the best moment, okay, that actually is relevant. I think the best moment with Kazehaya's dad was actually when Sawako sleeps over and is supposed to sleep in a different room with the futon, but then they, like, the mom opens the door and is like, she's not in here. Oh, no. I told them not to have sex or, like, whatever. And then they're just, like, at the kotatsu. And the dad opens the door and is like, I'm going to believe you just this once. Like, just one time. I trust you.
They should have had sex, though.
Yeah, they should. They might as well have done it. But I don't know. They were saving that for the last volume.
Yep. I was like, oh, it's only volume 29. We have to save that for the next volume, because that's the kind of shoujo manga this is.
I feel like a lot of, like, typical shoujo things that, like, I don't know, they went to an amusement park and I was like, volume 27 finally went to an amusement park.
Like, I know. It's like, come on, guys.
Like, where has this manga been? I don't understand.
All that time you wasted in the middle stretch being, like, miserable and not talking to each other. You could have been doing normal relationship things.
You could have been going to this damn amusement park. Are you kidding me? Gosh. Everybody needs a good Ferris wheel talking it out. God, don't you know anything?
Ferris wheel talking it out and making out.
Yes. I definitely like how they slowly make out more.
Yeah.
So good. They kiss like 3 times and I'm like, oh, it's too many. But we have to talk about the best thing.
What's the best thing?
It's obviously, I think the best thing is still Ayane's everything in this arc.
Yeah, no, Ayane has really great arc. I thought, so when I was first reading this stretch, I totally thought that, like, Ayane and Pien were going to get together. Like, so I was just reading it the first time. I was like, I hate it. I hate this. Saw the cover of volume 29 with Ayane and Pien together. I'm like, I hate it. I'm not okay with this. Teacher-student romance is never good.
Never good.
Don't do it. Like, so upset, so ready to be so mad. And then she confesses to him and he just turns around and is like, I don't like kids. You're 10 years too young for me. I was just like, oh my God.
Thank you, Pien.
I was like, you can look up the tweets where I'm just like crying with relief.
Yeah, I remember those tweets. I was like, oh, Caitlin's in for a whirlwind here.
I was so mad.
It was so fun to watch you be like so, so mad at that cover and then be like, this actually didn't go how I thought it would go. I was like, yeah. Oh, good. Okay, what I like about Peen's reaction is not only that he's obviously like, no, we can't do this, but he is very respectful in that, like, he, Ayane has bought him Valentine's Day chocolates, and she gives them to him, and he does, he eats all of them, and then is like, no. And it's like, it was kind of like, I accept your feelings, it is nice that you like me, but also no. And I was like, thank you. So, yes. So good.
And I mean, in retrospect, like, going back and reading it, knowing how it turns out, like, all of the stuff that I thought was like, oh, Peen's being awkward because he likes her back, it was just like, no, he's awkward because the student who he is mentoring and who he wants to see successful obviously has a huge crush on him. And that is weird and awkward for him because I don't think he's a guy who people get crushes on a lot.
Yeah, we've gotten a bit of hints that that might be true.
His perpetual howling about how he wants a girlfriend.
Yeah.
So what I thought was like him being awkward about liking this girl was like, no, he's awkward because the student is very blatantly hitting on him.
Yeah, and he tries to be like, I don't want to be weird around you because like I want you to succeed as a student, but also like
Yeah, and he's actually a super good teacher. I mean, I don't know if he's an actual good teacher, but he's a very good mentor to them in the last few volumes.
Yeah, we have no idea about whether he, like, teaches math in a logical way, but he is very good at motivating people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and he does, you know, mature between being 24 at the start of the series and being 27 at the start of the series. Like, and be going from, like, being a new teacher to being a little bit more experienced, like... Peen has actually some pretty good low-key character development, even if he is still kind of an idiot.
Yeah. Well, I think realizing that a student has a crush on him definitely makes him be like, I should reflect on this a little bit. I should think about my life and decide. I really love that he does give Ayane an eraser. That's very nice.
Yeah. Peen's a good dude.
Yeah.
He's a good boy.
He just gripes a lot about being
good. Even if he is an idiot.
Yeah. I've always been baffled about this mildly in that, like, all of his students, you know, see him a lot outside of school. And I get that it's a small town, so, like, that's probably part of why. But, like, I'm like, I'm not going to his apartment. Like, knowing where he lives seems a little strange. And I know it's because Kazehaya and Ryu have this other relationship with him, so it like spun out from that. I'm like, it's still weird.
It was a little weird. I think in his position I would really want to avoid having her in his apartment just because she like very clearly likes him and other students have picked up on that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want like, but I mean, like, I'm a teacher, my dad's a teacher. And he's a drama teacher, so he spends a lot of time with his students, and he sees them outside of class a lot. And, like, he's had, like, a party at our house for his drama students. So I can sort of see, like, but her being alone at his apartment was a little, like, crossing boundaries.
Yeah. I was like, should have just gone to school like you were supposed to tell him.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I've definitely been up and I've also been to my teachers' homes in the past, especially like if it is a small, like sort of small community situation. Like when I was in academic decathlon, we would have study sessions at our teacher's house a couple of times. Or like when I was doing my linguistics major in college, it was a really small department. So instead of a final, the teacher had a dinner party at his house.
Wow.
So like I know I loved rest in peace Scott Powell. Yeah, so like it's not totally weird, but it's weird that she's there by herself.
Yes.
And I would want, like, in his position, I would not want her there alone to avoid any sort of rumors.
avoid misunderstandings.
Yeah.
Legal liabilities. yeah. I was like, Peen, you're a good dude, but maybe a little too trusting in this situation.
Like, yeah.
Calm down. Yeah. It was really interesting rereading the series, knowing how that plays out, and just seeing how it was, like, seeded since volume, like...
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. Yeah,
when he looks at Kurumi and goes, I don't like kids.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, it's always been here. He's always been like this. And then, I don't know, he was always just like, there was some impactful scene that he had with Ayane in volume, like, 4, where he gives her some advice, and she seems really emotional about it. And even throughout her whole relationship with Kento... He was always there,
yeah,
in like every background scene as like, oh, he's the alternative. Like, I really liked the shot where, you know, Ayane keeps the cough drop that Peen has given them as a White Day present, since they always give him Valentine's Day chocolates. And Kento had given her like this very large jar of other candy. And there's a shot where it's both of them next to each other. And I was like, I see you. I see what you've done, manga. it was very cute, but yeah, it was very interesting to be like, oh yeah,
yeah,
Kento never had a chance, poor boy.
Oh, poor Kento.
We should talk about how Ayane handled Kento as well.
Yes,
in the end I was like, was Kento a good boy? Because he definitely didn't know how to listen, and it made me very annoyed.
I think he was overall a good boy. He tried. He wasn't a creep.
Yeah.
He didn't, like, you know, push her for sex or anything like previous boyfriends had. It was just, you know, immaturity. I think it was more immaturity than anything else.
Yeah.
Which, luckily, people can grow out of, so, you know.
It was a growing experience for both of them.
Yeah, Ayane learns what it's like to have a boyfriend who doesn't hit her.
Hit her in the face. Good things.
And... Kento learns what it's like to, like, actually like someone and what it's like to get his heart broken.
Which he definitely needed a lesson in, like...
Yeah.
He just needed that lesson very badly. Yeah, I guess I really liked it because it's, like, it seems like Kento should be so lovable and that Ayane admits she's, like, it's so pleasant to hang out with him, but she just doesn't love him. And I'm like, yes, thank you. Thank you, manga.
Yeah. You can't force it.
Can't force the love feelings. You can't do it. Kento did try, like, there is that weird scene where he does seemingly try to force himself on her, though, right? When they're, like, at her apartment. Or at her house.
I don't remember that.
Oh. It's when Ayane... I can't remember the full context of what's happening in it. Because, like... Admittedly, anytime they get into fights, I'm always kind of like, why exactly are you fighting? Like, I feel like it's never clearly explained until really late in the fight. And then I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But yeah, they were like in Ayane's house alone because her parents weren't there. And I think she might have been trying to tell him about the college thing again. And then, I don't know, they like end up on her bed. And she's like, no, like, I don't.
Oh, and he's like, he's trying to be like, oh, don't leave. And
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That definitely did kind of push the line.
Kento, be a good boy.
Kento.
And that's all this manga.
Kento,
this manga.
Bad.
Kento.
Smack him on
Kento.
The nose with a slipper.
We can't have a podcast without just being like, Kento. Why are you like this?
Why can't you be a good like Peen?
Yeah, why can't you be good like Peen? Oh boy. Peen being good. What a reality. Oh, excellent. But I don't know, so we should discuss the other main couples and how we like felt about them in the end, I suppose, as well. I feel like Chizu and Ryu, I don't really know what to say about them other than they're like your cool high school people who are like, yeah, we're just hot and like doing our own thing over here. I'm like, what?
They were definitely doing it, by the way.
Totally. 100%.
I just want to say, just like, I didn't, another thing I didn't pick up on the first time, but like, they were definitely like, after they hit a point whenever she was like up hanging out in his room unsupervised.
Yes.
They were her parents, his parents were so used to it, but they like they were banging.
They were totally banging. That's how Chizu knows that Kazehaya and Sawako bang. She's like, I know what's up.
Because usually she's so dumb about that stuff, but now she's the one that has banged.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I see.
So she can tell.
I see you. I see you fools. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Chizu and Ryu, I'm just like, all right. They're going to have a baseball team full of kids. I don't know. They're just going to make it work somehow. Like, cool.
They're going to be a happy small town business owning couple.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's fine. That seems fine. I accept your reality now. And
unless Ryu gets scouted to a baseball team and then they go wherever, you know, and then he gets scouted to the MLB.
Yeah.
And then they have to move to the U.S. and
I would love Chizu to see Chizu in the U.S.
Oh, she would love it. Honestly, I think she would do great in the U.S. She might have some trouble with English at first, but like people say what they mean here. Like you don't have to like guess at what like people are trying to say. Like everything's out on the table.
She can say the word schmuck and we'll love it.
So yeah. No, that now that's my headcanon feature for them.
Yeah.
Ryu gets into baseball and they move to America and they live happily in America.
Interesting. I like it. I'm down.
Ryu never really learns English very well.
That's all right. He's the strong silent type.
But, yeah. Or he can understand it, but he can't really speak it very much. But that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. They like play somewhere where there's like a strong Japanese community. He's like on the San Francisco Giants or whatever. And like
they're the Mariners. Mm. Actually, the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, we're just bring him here. That's fine.
Yeah.
West Coast.
Yeah, we're gonna fight over who gets to have him for our team.
It's fine, I'll see you too.
But I have read a lot of articles about how when Japanese couples move to the U.S. for like work or whatever, usually the husband is miserable and doesn't learn how to speak English and just wants to go back. Meanwhile, the wife is like out meeting people, learning English, like getting involved in their communities, and the husband's just like, I hate it, I want to go home.
Interesting. But Ryu would just be like, whatever, I don't talk to anybody anyway.
Yeah.
It's fine.
They find a really good ramen shop.
Yeah. No.
Where he definitely just goes over there and hangs out.
Yeah, he doesn't need to learn English when he just has a strong Japanese community. He's fine.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Now that we've built this elaborate headcanon.
Yeah. No, I love it. It's so good. But what do Kazehaya and Sawako do?
Well, I mean, we've already established it. They, you know, Sawako, they break up and Sawako dates
That's right.
Kurumi instead.
And Sawako and Kurumi is the real OTP. But as far as we know, at the end of the manga, they're still together at some undisclosed time lapse. Sort of. Might be a year, might be 4 years. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have strong feelings about them in the end. Honestly, weirdly, you know, it's one of those couples where it could go either way. They could end up staying together forever, or they could end up breaking up and they were happy together for their time and now they're moving on with their lives. Like, I don't necessarily think they're 100% soulmates, but I also think that, you know, they could work together in the long run too.
Yeah, they try really hard to be 100% soulmates. I really hated the, like, middle volumes of this where, I guess, when they were fighting and they just, like, have endless loops of apologizing to each other. I was like, stop, I'm gonna hit you. Like, what are you doing? Like, y'all killing me right now.
Yeah, it's, like, as long as Kazehaya doesn't lapse back into that like really garbage controlling sort of mindset that he had for a little while there.
Yeah. Don't be garbage, Kazuhaya. I think I was really surprised that it ended on like them having sex. Like, I was like mildly shocked.
No, they always end with like, they always have sex in the last volume. That's just how the pure shoujo manga goes. Like, even if they get together in volume two, they don't have sex until the last volume. That's what they did in My Love Story, too.
Oh.
Oh, sorry, spoilers.
That's fine. I can be spoiled about all the things. Huh, interesting. I don't know. So weird. It's just so weird because they're just so, like, freaking innocent. I'm like, it took you, like, 25 volumes to learn how to hold hands properly. Damn it. Like, come on. Yeah, Kazuhaya gave her a promise ring. I did have to really laugh at his, like, I measured your fingers so many times. I'm like, no, you didn't. Like, you can't just feel a finger and be like, ah, I got it. Like, Kazuhaya.
Grab the ring. This feels like the right.
Yeah, this feels right. What are you talking about, Kazuhaya? Shut up.
No, shopping for rings is horrible, though, because it is totally guesswork. And there are all these tips online that are like, secretly break out the measuring tape and measure your significant other's finger while they're sleeping.
Yeah, I think I've definitely heard.
Pretend that it's part of a game.
Yeah, I've definitely heard of all the elaborate ways that you can try to measure your partner's finger of like, get a string and then, yeah, like tie it around it while they're sleeping and then measure what it is. I'm like, all right. Oh, boy.
It's really silly. Just get a cheap one. And then if the cheap one doesn't fit right, get them sized.
Yeah, just actually, because I should have just bought like 8 different sized, like $10 rings and been like, all right, one of these is going to work. Like, it's going to happen.
No. So what you do is you get a cheap one. And if the cheap one doesn't fit, say, oh, we'll have to get you sized. And then we'll get you a ring that fits.
Interesting.
And then that's when you can get the real one. That's my tip. Speaking as someone who is engaged.
Yeah.
That's my tip.
That's your tips. Life tips here. Yes. I definitely was like, Kazuhaya, don't do this promise ring thing, though. Don't do it. Okay, fine. We did it. That's all right.
Yeah. Engaged to be engaged.
Yeah, I mean, that's all right. Like, Chizu and Ryu also, like, proposed to each other, like, immediately,
yeah.
I guess. Oh, boy. But those two are your silly, like, weird high school couple who's going to make it work no matter what, so that's fine.
Yeah, as long as, like, it's not everyone marrying their high school sweethearts, babies ever after.
Yeah, it's very nice that Ayane and Kurumi do not have peoples.
Yeah, no, they're free women. They can go off and do what they want.
Maybe they become a couple. JK, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm not
planting
that
seed. I gotta say, though, I don't think Harumi's reason for becoming a teacher is very good.
No. Oh, God, no.
It's like, oh, everyone in my family is teachers, so, and it was just kind of expected for me, so I guess I'm going to be a teacher. No! You have to feel the calling in your soul, or you're not going to be a good teacher.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure teachers in Japan are paid better than they are here. So it's not like it's like, you know, you're being poor so that you can do something that you love, which isn't right here either. Teachers are vastly underpaid. Public school teachers, but private school preschool teachers are even worse.
Yeah.
Lobby for better pay for preschool teachers. Anyway.
You would think that would be important to have a good foundation for how kids learn, you know, like preschool.
Yeah, you'd think, right?
Yeah.
Listen, I'll tell you my wage later and you'll cry for me.
Oh, no.
But like, yeah, like that's not a good reason. You'll never be a teacher if you go in with like, well, it was just kind of what was expected for me, you know?
Yeah.
So Sawaka will be a good teacher.
Yes.
She'll be a good teacher. But I don't know about Kurumi. I don't know if she has the right temperament for it either.
No.
Wow.
God, no. I kind of assume that Kurumi will is like, I admire Kurumi for being like, I don't want to do this, but it's like a challenge and I want to meet it. And I feel like she's going to go through this whole thing and then realize it's not what she wants and then just go be a model or something. She's going to go be like somebody on Terrace House and like whatever. Like, that's my
Terrace House, meet a man.
Yeah, exactly.
Or meet a girl.
Yeah.
Don't they have same sex attracted people in Terrace House now?
Do they? I was gonna say I think I read a
story about that like they actually have a couple of people on it who are like either gay or bisexual.
Ooh, Terrace House, sipping it up. I admittedly only really watched the season. Yeah, I only watched the season that had the hockey player, and I was like, yes. It's all I want. Watch female hockey player. Yeah, no, Kurumi is definitely gonna not be a teacher, is my conclusion of all that. But I think that she will still have learned an important thing from it, that like she can do things that are difficult and not necessarily, like she can rise to that challenge no matter what she wants the challenge to be in the future. She can choose the challenge better in the future. I believe in you, Kurumi. So now I wanted to do a very silly segment because we get some characters that have some very different drastic looks. Mostly Peen. But I really want to know your opinions on best Peen hairstyle.
Hair down.
Definitely hair down. Thank
He's
you.
He's cute with his hair down. He's like genuinely attractive with his hair down.
I know. I'm like, he's a hot dude this way. Why does he keep messing this up?
Yeah, like, he's got those strong eyebrows to make it work. Like, he's good looking with his hair down.
I know. There were definitely panels where I was like, I don't know, Peen. Like, I definitely, you would get hit on a lot more like this. Like, Toru knows. Yeah. Toru gave you good advice. You just don't follow it. Like, what are you doing? Obviously, hair combed, worst Peen. Correct. Definitely.
He looks like a dorkier version of Jim Halpert from The Office after he starts, like, combing his hair to look respectable.
And then his children got him in trouble anyway. He could have just spiked his hair as always. I assume he only spikes his hair because he just wants to be like even more tall.
Yeah, like terrifying, like 6'7".
Yeah. He also had a vampire look when they were doing the haunted house.
I don't remember that.
Oh, you
know, vampires.
Oh, I think that's when Ayane started to be like, ooh, this is like, you're way too close. And I'm like touching your face. And like, this is no good. Because you were like doing his vampire makeup.
Oh no, my
makeup.
Heart went doki doki.
Yeah, my heart definitely went doki doki. This is no good. I'm pretty sure he has his hair down. You know, it's all the things who were real dangerous in that situation. I do also have to say that Sawako, after when they're preparing for the parade where they're supposed to dress up as what they're going to be in the future, and she's like, look at me, I'm like super conservative teacher, and then Ayane is like, no, and like goes and redoes her clothes and everything, I was like, damn, you made Sawako
sexy
so
teacher
hot.
Sawako.
Like, oh snaps. Like, it blew my mind. I was like, damn, all right. Like, yeah. Now I'm attracted to Sawako. What's happening? What have you done? Oh man, that's pretty good. I can see why Kazehaya didn't have like that strong of a reaction. He was like, all right. Stupid Kazehaya.
I feel like, you know, I feel like Shina just doesn't really have a great understanding of how to write like healthy established couples. We've been over this before. Yeah. I still feel that way.
She's much better at the build up than the mm-hmm. cruising along. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and dads in Hawaiian shirts. How we
Looks good. It looks great.
It looks great. But Kazehaya being like, you look good in it. I was like, does he? Okay.
Take your word for it.
Yeah, I'm taking it. If you say so, Kazehaya, he's your dad. I don't know. What is up? Yeah, I guess, you know, the real ending question is, overall, did we think this was a good ending? This is a very long shoujo series. Most shoujo series do not get to be 30 volumes long. So, you know, did it end well? Was it worth the ride?
I think the best part was still the first 10 volumes.
Agree.
I think because I feel like after that, it started becoming more focused on the couples and you saw less of like the friendship element of it, which I thought was always one of the best parts.
Yeah.
So it definitely has never been, it never got that good again. But I do think it mostly pulled itself together in the end. But the ending was really, the last few volumes, like three volumes, were really slow.
I mean, it definitely is could have covered all that.
It probably could have covered all of that ground in half of what it took, especially for those last few volumes. The last volume was 100% just them saying their goodbyes. Like, that was all it was. And that did not need to be that long.
Well, we discussed last time how the dialogue also becomes really halting because it'll be like, I dot 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 like was dot dot dot, and you're like, no, why are we doing
I
this?
Was why are you talking like William Shatner?
Why? Oh, just put more words on the page, damn it. Like,
but not too many words or else you get Bakuman.
Yeah, it definitely could use a lot more words in this to convey, like, I don't know. Yeah, definitely just draws everything out. I'm like, this is like fine, but
yeah,
need to be
no it was overall, I think, pacing issues aside, I am satisfied with how it ended. I can see the characters, I can see sort of project forward what the future would hold for them, which is always a good sign for the ending of a series. Their main story is told, but you can still sort of see things lying ahead for them and their life continuing. And it doesn't just end with, like we said, it doesn't just end with everyone marrying their high school sweethearts. It only ends with one, like, actual engagement. So, yeah. You know? Yeah. No, it was a pretty good ending.
Yeah, I would agree. I definitely think the earliest bits of Kimi no Chōrike are the best bits of Kimi no Chōrike. Basically, what the anime covered is the best bits of Kimi no Chōrike. That said, I definitely can understand, again, why this series was so popular. Like, I think it's definitely one of the most popular shoujo series of the past years in Japan in terms of, like, actually, it had, like, a live-action movie, too. It has a lot of things. It achieved a lot of things that most shoujo things don't. So it was used by political parties to try to motivate people to vote. Like, you know, it's, like, has a lot of cultural cachet. And I can see why. And I definitely think everybody should read Kimi no Chōrike.
I think definitely read the first 10 volumes. For I cannot say whether the ending is worth muddling through that middle part, though. I don't know.
Depends how much you care,
like,
about these
characters.
If
you're really not enjoying the middle.
If you read the first 10 volumes and are like, I gotta know, yeah, then keep going. But, you know, just know that it's never going to reach that high again. You know, I don't know. Maybe people really like Kurumi and it reaches a high again for them. But yeah, I have very minor final thoughts. Just really wanted to mention that my favorite gag in this happened at least twice in these volumes, where Kazehaya is giving, like, you know, for White Day or whatever, has to give a present to Sawako. And he always, like, kisses her first, and then Sawako's like, oh my god, thank you. And then he's always like, wait, no, that wasn't the present. Like, it just, that's, the kiss is not the present. I'm like, god, I love it. I love this so much because I'm a fool.
But it's like they kiss so rarely that she thinks the kiss is the present. It's like, no, kiss more. You're supposed to be horny, you goddamn teen.
I know. Kazehaya, you told us in volume one that you were a typical horny high school boy. I never saw it. What are you talking about? Get it together, Kazehaya. But no, anytime it happened, I was just like, this is so funny. I love the second time it happens. He then is like he kisses her and he's like, no, that wasn't the present. And then he's like, close your eyes. And then he's like, no, I still wasn't going to kiss you again. And then he's just like, whatever. And does it again. But then he's like, no, seriously, the present is a thing. The present is this promise ring. Like, God. Oh, you're so silly.
By the way, Skullface bookseller Honda-san had a Kimi no Todoke reference this week.
Oh, really? Ooh.
Yeah, it like showed like Shueisha manga, and it had My Hero Academia and Kimi no Todoke with pumpkin heads, to be clear.
Of course.
they have pumpkin heads because that's the kind of series that Honda-san is.
Yeah.
Also a very good series. Highly recommended.
Oh my gosh, I have to catch up with it just for this now. See, well, what I'm
catch
saying.
Up with it because it's so good.
It's also really good. I know. I've been very bad. but yeah, see, no, look at that. It's getting equated with My Hero Academia. That's what I'm saying. Kimi no Todoke is like a big deal, y'all. Like, God. Okay. I also really just loved Kazehaya giving Sawako his tie after graduation when everybody else had been asking for it. And I was like, no, I really love girls wearing ties, first of all. And then I love that he gave it to Sawako. Like, yes. I mean, obviously, but also like, yes. Oh, and I still want to go live in a small town in Hokkaido because of this. Thanks, Kimi no Todoke.
I mean, listen, you could always just pack up, go there on tourist visa and see if you can get a job at an Eikaiwa. It's always an option.
Yeah. All right. I'm just going to uproot my life. Like,
hey, I've done it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's Kimi no Todoke.
You know, I just want to say I have been reading Kimi no Todoke on and off since it first came out in the U.S. And it God, is so kind of weird thinking that that's it and it's over.
Yeah. Do you feel like an end of an era has happened? Like,
a little bit.
Oh.
A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that honestly is how it feels, is that I'm like, yeah, Kimi no Todoke was a big deal, and now it's over, and it's like, oh my god, what happens now?
It's like, what year did it start? Like, just thinking about, you know, when a long-running series finishes, you kind of think about, like, what your life has been in the time that it's been running. It's like, what year did it start? It was, like, when I was in college or something. It started in 2006, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it had to start at least 2006.
It ran for 11 and a half years.
So long. Is there anything now that's like what is the next Kimi no Todoke? Like, what is currently being published in America that is...
Let's see.
I don't know.
I don't know if there are any, like...
Skip Beat is still, like, the one that's never going to end that's being published.
I don't know if there are any, like, real spiritual successors.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
I don't know. We've Kimi no Todoke. Goodbye, Kimi no Todoke.
Did they reach you?
I think they did. I think it reached my heart and I cried like a schmuck. Like them saying goodbye to each other. I don't know. It was also because I had those feelings with my boyfriend, like when we went off to college and stuff. And I was like, yeah. I feel this. Stop. I already lived this. Why are you doing this to me? My heart can't take this. It's no good. So you win, Kimi no Todoke. You win. That's all I'm saying.
You had an emotion.
I had an emotion. Salty water poured from my eyes. It's no good. Yeah, but everybody, thanks for listening to this trilogy of podcasts about Kimi no Todoke. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, or just want to tell us how you feel about Kimi no Todoke ending and how it's the end of an era, you can email shoujoandtell@gmail.com or leave a comment on shoujoandtell.com/Kimi no Todoke 3. We're also at shoujoandtell on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, social medias, I don't know. Caitlin, where can people find you and your work on the internet?
You can find my Twitter at altsoon_nodere. I am also a writer and editor for Anime Feminist and my own blog, I Have a Heroin Problem, and I also review anime for the Daily Dot.
So much anime.
so much anime.
All the shoujos. Yay. Yeah, and if, you know, you've been listening to this podcast for a while or you just found us because you loved Kimi no Todoke so much, it'd be very nice if you could leave a rating/review in iTunes because this would help the podcast reach more hearts or at least ears. And thanks again for listening to these episodes. Next time, we'll be back for volumes 1-7 of House of the Sun by Taamo with special guest Kelly Quinn Chu, who co-hosts the podcast One Panel Later, which is about, she is the manga person, and she debates Western comics and manga with a person who's a Western comics thing. They just, you know, go through the differences and fight about which one's better, and obviously manga's better. But you should listen to that podcast. And until then, bye! Kimi ni todake